This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
You are full of bullshit, my friend. I will sue you for everything you have. I will sue your ass.
All right, Tuesdays with Tom. Tom Schell, the World Herald, joined us. Gosh, thinking back to 10, 11 years ago and all the stuff that's going on with Texas, Oklahoma, don't you miss this? Like, these private conversations, hanging out to try and catch somebody who you can ask a question to? I mean, there has to be part of you that misses those days.
Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong. That Thursday at the Big 12 meeting down at the plaza, I actually came home early, and I came home at 2 o'clock. I told Lee Barfneck, I don't think anything's going to happen. Well, another brilliant move on my part. I'm driving back. I get home at 5 o'clock, and all Chip Brown has gone loose. You know, he's gotten all this, the Pac-12, the Southwest 6, and all this stuff is, the league's exploding, and I left. So, but I was able to write it from there. But yeah, it's, look, realignment is a powerful drug. Even though Nebraska's safe, we still pay attention. We still love to read it. We still love to talk about it. And now it's even better because it doesn't impact Nebraska. I was trying to think, well, what would, if Nebraska stayed in the Big 12, you know, what would Nebraska be doing right now? Well, I think they'd be a player. Mm-hmm. I think somebody would want them, but it would be kind of nervous.
It would be. So with that said, I mean, I was thinking earlier, let's say Texas was not Texas and they were playing by everybody's rules, what the Big 12 would be like today. Because along the way, you would probably pick up a TCU, maybe a Houston. You know, you'd expand, you'd get to 14, and it would be a really, really good conference. But, you know, that ended a decade ago. And now the Big 12 is going to go from, they went from 12 to 10 to 8. They're going to try and get two more or four more to get back to 12. But the eight that are left, we know a lot of those eight. Who is in the best spot with life without Texas and Oklahoma? And who is in the worst spot, do you think?
Well, they're all in the worst spot. Nobody's going anywhere. None of the eight are attractive to anybody, really. I mean, I think KU basketball is probably would probably be number one. You know, if you could get the Big Ten and you could add Allen Fieldhouse, the iconic Jayhawk basketball brand, it would be a feather in your cap. But let's make no mistake. None of this is about basketball. And it's all about money, and it's all about football. And it's all about the next TV negotiation, which isn't about numbers. I think you already hit on this. It's not about how many you have in your conference. It's what can you do to add value. And I feel so bad for Iowa State people. They finally got on top. They finally got the coach. They got the team. They got the quarterback. They got the biggest season of their lives coming up, and now this. And I don't know where they end up. I don't think it's in the Big Ten. I don't think the Big Ten's going to expand. I don't think they're going to take anybody out of the Big 12 just because what I said, football value, how can you increase our TV deal going forward? And I don't believe anybody in the Big 12 does that.
You know, Iowa State will politic for maybe the Big Ten. They get some help from their cross-state rival. What happens to a program like Kansas State, an egg school in the middle of the state of Kansas?
Well, like I said, they're going to have to find somewhere to go. I mean, these are all Mountain West or MAC teams right now. But Conference USA, you know, there's some good fits. Baylor, Tennessee Tech is trying to go Pac-12. I mean, Pac-12 is an academic stock. They're not going to look at Texas Tech at all. That'd be shocking. But you've got Houston and you've got SMU. I mean, there's some good Southwest Conference, ties down there to be had. I think Oklahoma State probably fits in Conference USA or AAC. Yeah, I would. The AAC commissioner is very aggressive and active. I would not be surprised if he went after some Big 12 schools. So, but this is, I mean, this is the reality, and can they stay together? Right, but who's going to want to join them? Because who thinks that's going to stay together? I mean, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I saw something Barry Trammell, my friend in Oklahoma City, wrote about the money, and he said that the money, you know, the Big 12 schools were getting $38 million a year, each of them. He said without Texas and Oklahoma, the Big 12 schools are now projected to get less than half of that. Okay. Half of, I asked my daughter, what's half of 38? She said 19, and then she called me an idiot. So the Big 12 schools would be less on board to get less than the $19 million a year for TV. That's not good. How do you run an athletic department? You know,
mm-hmm.
you become mid-majors, and it's I don't know. I mean, I'd love to think that the Big Ten could swoop in, and I don't think Iowa wants Iowa State in, do you?
No.
That doesn't matter, probably, but it'd be great to have a couple of the old Big Eight your buddies in the Big Ten for us to go, and we could go down to Lawrence, we could go back to what's that place in Ames, Hickory Park? We could go back to Ames and all that jazz. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen.
With this said, so money makes the world go round. It's money, it's recruiting, it's Texas and Oklahoma. That's two big reasons. Also, they don't trust the leadership in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go back to money. If Oklahoma and Texas join the SEC next year, so it'd be 22-23, it would also be kind of cool. It would be the first time since the 80s that an SEC team had played in Lincoln. If Oklahoma is in the SEC next year when they come
out right.
on September 17th. By 24-25, the SEC would generate $1.3 billion in revenue with 16 teams. That would mean they would be generating more revenue than the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then?
Well, Gary, I don't want to think about that. And nobody in Omaha on the hilltop at dear old Creighton U should want to think about that either. I mean, last week or so, Mark Emmert, the NCAA, threw his hands up and said, I'm not sure where the NCAA wants to do this anymore. And that's a scary, scary thing. If you take the NCAA, a lot of people in, you know, the big boy land of college sports, SEC and so forth, want to get rid of the NCAA. Well, they're outdated. They don't do anything. They're in the way. They're holding us back. Well, they also had their name on the College World Series contract. The NCAA goes away. What happens to the College World Series? Do the big boys form their own baseball tournament?
Mm.
And, you know, where do they hold that? What about the basketball tournament? Did the big boys just have their own basketball tournament? Good question. And if they do, is the Big East invited? Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
So these are things that it's going to get really weird in college sports the next 10 years, maybe the next 5 years, maybe the next year. But I can't make predictions. It's all speculation that that's what we do. But I'm just telling you, it's don't get rid of the NCAA. You know, maybe they could keep the NCAA around to run the event because we need those tournaments.
Yeah. And if it was every conference for itself in coming up with rules, oh my. If you think it's a wild, wild west now, just think what it'll be like then.
Well, that's what the NCAA did with the NIL.
I know.
You guys figured out, well, that's not an answer.
Yeah.
That's like your parents telling the kids, well, you go, you know, I don't have any rules. You go make the rules. Oh, okay.
Hey, in your old stomping grounds, they are very worried about the men's basketball tournament in Kansas City.
Yeah, no, it's so bad. I don't know what to do about it. I wish there was a way. I really wish there was a way. But, you know, maybe wherever KU, you know, Kansas City's a KU town. Maybe wherever KU goes, they can, you know, if you have a conference tournament with KU in it, it'll still feel good like Kansas City, but you won't have maybe you can get KU and Iowa State and maybe K-State in the same league somewhere and still have that tournament there. But and it'll still feel sort of right. But, you know, it's sad. That's the part of realignment that, I accept where we are. I accept the future. I think the Big Ten should think really big and should look west. But I also recognize, I try not to haunt of the past anymore. I recognize that there's a sad element to this. And God love them, the Big 12, they kept that Band-Aid on for 10 years. It was longer than a lot of people thought. But you can't blame Texas and Oklahoma for me. It's college football, especially, has always been every man for himself. Ever since the day they took down the NCAA TV contract, it's been that way. So it's this isn't just Texas. I mean, Oklahoma's in on this too.
Oh yeah,
but they got to take care of themselves. They have a responsibility to their school and to their fans to do what's to do the best for them. So it's. I don't know what to say. I just we could go right now. We were not talking about this, were we?
No. But now we just sit and wait. Let's shift to Nebraska with camp opening up this week.
Yeah,
and a lot of more football discussion mixed in with all this alignment and whatever happens with the Big Ten. Let's focus on Trev Alberts. The one thing I keep hearing about. Among the things that stood out about Trev and what Nebraska athletics needs in this 18-month period from Moose being ushered into retirement to when his contract would end is I hear need somebody with energy and urgency and an ability to deliver a message and some harmony. Well, Trev Alberts had a pretty good first week on the job, whether it be starting with welcoming Frank Solich back for a game, saying to fans, I hear you, paper tickets, paper parking passes. Then he drives to Indianapolis, which he does. He likes to drive. And then what he said to all the media outlets when he was there. How would you sum up his first week on the job?
Well, the first thing I do is I take down the Steve Peterson quote above the door of the Osborne Complex, whatever that quote is, and I put up Trev Alberts' quote from last week up there about, we're not looking in the past. Nobody cares. We need to focus on doing things right now. And he said all the right things. I mean, I just was at the basketball media availability today. I'm on vacation still, but you can't watch Matlock every day. So I went down to the basketball media day. I walk into the Devaney or the Hendricks front door, and who's there talking to the workers? It's Trev Alberts, and he's they're having they're laughing, they're talking, he's hanging out with people. That's something you never saw Bill Moose do. You would never see Sean Eichhorst do it, and I'm not sure Tom Osborne did a lot of that.
You know who did that? Bill Byrne.
Yes, and he was the best AD. I think Trev's got a chance to be that kind of guy or better. It is a long road ahead. He's got a lot to do, but in terms of unifying and setting a standard, and forming an identity, he's going to do that. And I think that's going to make him. Very successful, and it wouldn't hurt if Scott Frost won a few football games too.
What'd you make of his day in Indianapolis?
Oh, it was fine. The time for talk is over, and everybody wants action. And I thought it was good. So, I don't remember what he said, which is my point exactly.
If I say to you, because when Nebraska starts camp on Thursday, you'll have a head coach. I think the head coach and his quarterback are tied together. Scott's had one winning season in 5 years. He likes this team. And I don't think that was just I'm at media days. I do believe that he likes this team. The C word wasn't mentioned. I think the H word needs to probably be mentioned a little bit more. They have harmony. I know you were just at men's basketball where they talked about their chemistry. I think Nebraska football is in a good spot in terms of guys from all different backgrounds and on both sides of the ball. They get along. They understand each other. But he's going to be tied to his quarterback when camp starts and when the season starts. If I said to you, you've got a quarterback, you've got a chance, would you agree to that statement coming into this season?
I don't know what kind of quarterback they have, though. I really don't. I mean, I've seen Martinez do both, and he can be both guys, and good and bad, and I don't know what we're going to get. So that's how I feel about the team going into the season. I think a lot of things are in place, but are they going to make mistakes, or are they going to grow and be somebody different? The key to this thing is leadership on the field. And how well have these guys been coached? Are they ready to take over the reins on the field? Are they ready to make sure everybody's on the same page and everybody's pulling together? And if you make a mistake, there's going to be consequences. I mean, it's time to go. But it's going to take the players. And not about play calling at this point. It's about players who make plays. And so that's what we're all sitting back. We're ready to watch.
That's going back to the word that I used to describe Trev, energy and urgency. I would like to hear more. I get a sense that there is urgency, but I'd like to hear more of that from everybody in the program. The sense of urgency for this year, because there's also the part of, not only with Scott and Adrian, is pride kicks in. Don't you think, Tom? I know that I'm a better coach than that. I know I'm a better player than that. This isn't a chip on my shoulder just to prove you wrong. This is more, I know I'm better than that, and I'm out there for pride, and I'm going to prove it.
But I've heard it before, Gary.
I know.
I'm tired of hearing. I want to see it. And, I mean, if you want to talk about urgency, call me back at the end of the first quarter when they play Illinois. Okay? Call me back at the end of the first quarter. If they came out flat, they didn't have urgency. If they came out and fumbled, they didn't have urgency. If they came out and drove it down their throat, scored, and they stopped them up, you know, if they won the first quarter and looked with energy, yeah, there you go. I saw it. I hate to keep going this. UCF, Peach Bowl, that team had urgency. Yes, they were the underdog playing Auburn, but by God, they had energy everywhere. They flew around. I have yet to see that in 3 years of Scott Frost football. So I want to see that.
Well, I can't call you until August 28th, which is 4 weeks from Saturday.
Call me back.
and it is talking season. I think urgency and pride. And on defense, those guys have, you can see that there's been the phrase incremental growth. I think on the defensive side of the football, it's okay to swallow some pride in a program that you want to be known for offense to say, gosh, I got the most amount of talent on the defensive side. We're going to build up the black shirts and just let them go. And if that's the storyline of our season and that makes us successful and our offense is still sputtering, at this point, I'm okay with it because we won.
But again, talking is—we're all tired of it. This is about confidence. It's about winning. You can't. How do you get it until you do it? That's what they've got. They've got to muster it up the first game to get the confidence and go out and do it. And then, if this program gets confidence, I think it's going to be fun. But until they don't believe that they can win, do they? How do they know? So. Show me.
Well, just all of this talk, and you know, we're on sports talk. We're in the middle of the summer. It all keeps going back to, which we can all agree on, the importance of the first game of the season. Like in so many different levels of what that game will do for the rest of the year. It just, I know Nebraska started the year with big games. But I can't recall as big a game that has more impact on what they're about to play 4 weeks from Saturday.
I for this program, absolutely right.
That's wild to think about that, but that's where you are, and can you handle that? Because you've got all this time to be asked about that game, and guys are willing to go there and talk about how important it is and that it sets the tone for the season, which they need. They haven't had a great tone setter in the first 3 years.
Right.
Well, as always, I appreciate it. Thanks for adjusting with us. Are you enjoying the Olympics, by the way?
Yes. I'm always skeptical. I'm always cynical and say I'm tired of the Olympics, and I get stuck in and I love it. So I'll be watching again tonight.
Have you covered an Olympics before, right?
Two of them, yes.
What was the last one? 96 Atlanta?
Yes.
All right. From a journalist's standpoint, is it fun to cover the Olympics?
It's the best. It's like going away to camp for 2 weeks. You wear T-shirts and shorts. You have your laptop. You get on a bus. Go cover an event. You write. Come home. Have a giant beer, and then you go to bed at 2 a.m. You get up at 6 or 7. Get back on the bus. You go find an event. You do this every day, and the greatest stories you'll ever write. It's awesome.
Hey, wait a minute. Are you describing the Olympics or the old Big Eight Skyriders tour?
Well, no, there wasn't the Olympics. Trust me.
Tom, as always, I appreciate it. Take care. We'll see you on Thursday.
All right, thank you.
That's Tom Stell from the Omaha World Herald. I guess just reading some accounts from media, people don't want to hear the media whine. The bus situation is not great over in Tokyo. I guess you got to pack your patience when you're waiting for the bus and covering the Olympics during a pandemic. Lots to cover. Simone Biles withdrawing today from the gymnastics all-around competition. USA softball losing. Swimming is live tonight. And men's basketball is back in the middle of the night. Who will stay up to watch them play? It's, what, 11:40? I think the international game does go a little bit quicker. 24-second shot clock. You got the 10-minute quarters. There are some things of the international game that I would love to see in this country. But then I remember that the NBA, what would we do if guys couldn't flop and beg for calls? Yeah, that dream team is a long way away. David Stern's dream actually came true. When they had the dream team, he was hoping that it would elevate basketball throughout the world, and it has. I mean, the rest of the world doesn't want to see us win, and the rest of the world has NBA representation. Tonight, though, if they lose tonight, I'm out. And I've been the most optimistic USA basketball fan with this team. If they lose tonight, I'm done. I might have to crush them tomorrow. Hopefully not. They should win. If they don't win, oh, God. Just drop the sport. Or at least leave the Olympics. Say I'm withdrawing. All right, Mike, thanks for sitting in for George.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You are so happy to get out of here. Once we hit the break, you're going to be like, gone. But that is Mike DeVille. You'll be hearing more from him. Mike is one of our own, just kind of like Nick. Nick and Mike were a package deal. USC is coming up next. Who knows what will happen tomorrow with realignment talk. Maybe the Big Ten will make some noise. Doubtful, but the Texas and Oklahoma request an invite. Thursday will be the next big step because the SEC meets to decide what to do. Hopefully they decide, write a big check to the Big 12, get out so you're with us next year, because there's no way Texas and Oklahoma survive in the Big 12 until 2025. Can you imagine what Bedlam would be like? Oklahoma is a lame duck?
Yeah.
For Mike, for Robin Washut, for Tom Chattel, and all of you, I'm Gary. We're back again tomorrow with another edition of the Gary Sharp Show at 10 on 1620 The Zone.